getting data that you'll hear me quote from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, as well as other third parties like Milliman that measure this. Let's look at it this way. If one out of five adults in this state have a self-declared condition and they can't get access, we have a major problem. Yeah. And as we've talked about before, you know, the trades in particular have been reluctant to talk about this issue.
The fact that we are now including behavioral health is like the big name for this in our clinics, right? And explain, Stu, what does that mean in plain English?
I don't know how you separate family medicine from mental health, right? We're doing damage to our bodies because of what's going on in our heads.
Yep.
And so the idea of going in to see your primary care doc who identifies that you have a mental health condition but then can't help you get to that specialist, you know, you're not really serving the patient well. So we made the decision, we're going to combine the two. So at the five MCL centers, for example, we have behavioral health staff in those centers. And if Ken comes in and our doc decides that Ken needs to have a consult, we're going to spend time with Ken to get him to walk down the hall with us and make that what we call warm transfer so that you can begin that conversation.
Can members receive therapy there on site from the behavioral health specialist?
Yeah, that's right, Phil. We can do individual, we can do group, we can do couples, and we can do family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, all four.
I think the point that you made is the fact that somebody can be in there and, you know, get a checkup and say, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
You know, well, you know, I'm not sleeping well, or I've lost 25 pounds or whatever it is, right? And they can literally go, yeah, I think now's the time for a little check-in with Dr. Blank right down the hall, go. And nobody knows that there's no big, giant, glaring sign that says, you know, I'm here for mental health. You know, they're going to the clinic. And wherever they go inside those doors is where they go. I think I've told you this, Stu. My mom is a social worker for eons, private practice and therapy, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I've read statistics about the amount of lost productivity and wages and things like that that members lose by, I can't get out of bed. Right? I'm anxious. I got to go. I'm on a medicine that I can't operate heavy equipment on, right? Stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, how do we address that?
Yeah. I mean, according to Mercer, the big consulting firm, 62% of lost work days are tied to a mental health issue. I mean, that is an enormous number.
62%.
62%, according to Mercer.
And the other 38% is Super Bowl Monday.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
The blue flu.
The blue flu.
January 2nd.
that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, and then look, this goes cross-section of the working world, right? It doesn't discriminate whether you're a white collar, blue collar, service industry. You know, you have what you have.
Yeah, and the other thing is that we know that folks who have an underlying condition, say hypertension, diabetes, obesity, and if they also are diagnosed with a mental health condition, their claims, and this is where it's important to the union fund to understand, their claims can be 3.5 times more expensive.
Why is that?
They don't take care of themselves.
Got it.
They're sedentary.
Yeah.
They're not compliant with their medication for their diabetes.
Right.
They could have social habits that are destructive and making their conditions worse.
Yeah.
All the above.
That makes sense.
And this is especially important for us, right? Because I believe that the building trades have the highest percentage of depression, I think, of any industry.
Is that right?
Yeah. And the suicide rate, correct? I think there was a study that came out.
I think police have a pretty high one. Lawyers certainly have a high one. But I know that especially during the pandemic, Phil, when our members were sitting at home, they haven't sat at home for that long.
Yeah, we're right up there because there was a big story about that. I think it was in the Times a couple months ago. We were talking on the show. And it is, as we talk about, it's such a struggle to get people from the building trades to embrace mental health and behavioral health. It's just, it's not part of the culture.
Right.
And that's part of, you know, the role that I play and, you know, in my union of like helping members understand, like, it's okay. What's the saying? It's okay to not be okay.
Yeah, and, right. That's right.
I think you're starting to see a little bit of movement here, but there's a lot of room for improvement.
What,
you know,
at the end of COVID, there were some numbers that came out about the number of children that were struggling with depression, like teenage girls and boys that were struggling with depression.
Yeah.
And that was alarming at Local 150, certainly, and a big drive.